Well. Welcome to the very, very first comic shoot with Derek and myself, Tyler. We are unedited. We're going to say what we want. We're going to talk about what we want 100% off the top of our heads. First topic we're going to talk about today is going to be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But before we get right into it, I just want to let everybody know some of the views and opinions on this show might not be for everybody. They also might not represent allcomic.com or some of the people that work for it. So, you've been warned. Derek, how the hell are you?
Oh, I am fantastic. Happy to be here. And, you know, as a huge Ninja Turtles fan, I'm definitely looking forward to this discussion.
Yeah, it was pretty clear when we first started talking about this that this was going to be the very first show.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could it not be?
You got me there. It doesn't help that you basically recommended that I read this whole series, and I went out and pretty much did just that. In the new IDW series, yeah. In the span of a week, I read the whole damn series.
Yes.
Got caught up to issue, I think 28 was the end of Cityfall.
Yes.
And then 29 was the new one.
Okay. Did you buy that 29 issue?
Yeah, I read 29 before you did. Remember?
That's right.
I had to review it because you were just swamped.
I was.
So, we're already talking about it. We might as well start there. The IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series was kind of a brand new beginning for the Turtles.
Definitely.
Derek, you're the master. I bow to you as much as I love them as a kid. I'm definitely not as crazy about them as you are. Want to just tell us the difference between this one and the original Kevin Eastman and Laird series?
Well, the big difference is they kind of changed up the origin. You know, there's definitely some you know, TCRI type mutations going on, you know, which is what happened in the first one, although they've kind of expanded on it with the IDW series and sort of made it like what would you call it, like reincarnation. They're actually the Turtles and Splinter are actually like a reincarnated family. So like, and actually
reincarnated
Shredder,
from Japan, right? Like feudal Japan or whatever.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And Shredder, you know, was their former enemy from, you know, feudal Japan. And he has also in a different way somehow managed to come back through magic and, you know, sorcery and whatnot. But the original series was actually the original movie actually did a good job of explaining, you know, how they came to be, where, you know, the ooze fell on these, you know, abandoned turtles, and, you know, Splinter tried, you know, as just a rat, was trying to, you know, protect them, take care of them in some fatherly way, and they get the ooze on them and they, you know, mutate and he was the, you know, rat of Hamato Yoshi. He was the pet rat.
So there you go. That's the first movie did follow the original Eastman Laird a lot closer than most people probably thought.
Yeah.
We'll get into the movie stuff, but the first one is definitely my favorite, I would say, by far. But as far as the IDW series, when I read the first 12 issues with Tom Waltz and Eastman writing, I don't know where Laird is. I don't know why he's not involved in the project at all. But
he has actually stepped away from anything Turtles, and he has, you know, decided to not really have anything to do with it.
Oh. Well, there you go. I guess that makes sense. It's a shame, because it would have been cool to have them both, you know, maybe do like an annual issue or something.
Yeah, they actually don't own, well, I mean, Viacom owns it now, but they they get certain, you know, royalty rights, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure. For the first 12 issues, Dan Duncan did the art. I thought the art was, well, not the best. The art still kind of played. It almost, you know, felt like the original series to me. It was kind of a darker and grittier, and you know, the art worked with the story well enough that you know, I think it was a really good start for the series. As far as the actual new origin story goes, I almost think I like it a little bit better. I like the idea that, you know, Raphael is lost. I like the introduction of Old Hob, this cat that also got oozed up and, you know, is kind of obviously fighting with Splinter. Cats and rats aren't friends.
Yeah, Old Hob is actually an original IDW character.
Yeah, that's what I mean by new characters.
He wasn't
found in the original series, but they kind of weaved him in where, you know, you could have seen him on the original cartoon. You know, he just feels like a character that's been around for a while.
He really does.
You know, but I like that Raphael was separated from the first or from the three turtles. Kind of had to find his own way. I like the way they explain the ooze stuff a little bit better. I'm not so sold on the reincarnation thing.
No, neither am I. I actually, most of the time, I prefer, science over the supernatural. So, you know, this was, it took me a few issues for me to finally just get over it and accept it. But once you get past that, it's a decent series.
What do you think? Do you think you like the original one better? Do you like this one better?
I like the original one better just because it's more, their origin is more like science in origin.
Yeah, I guess, you know, excluding the reincarnation, it's pretty much the same origin.
Oh yeah. It is.
But I don't know. It's nice how they they kind of put April O'Neil in a different spot. She's a little closer to the turtles than just a reporter that kind of, I don't know, stumbles upon them, I guess. I like it. I think it was really good. My first gripe with the series came at issue 13 with when Andy Kuhn took over art. He had art from 13 to 16, and I'm telling you, man, that trade was hard to get through.
Yeah, it was definitely a step down in quality as far, you know. I wasn't a big fan of the art either, but, I mean, solid story.
Yeah, the story, thankfully, was still really good. But I think that, I don't know, I really wish that Dan Duncan would have at least continued to 16. Skipping past it, because I don't like to trash people's art too much. I mean, I can't draw that good, so he's better than me. But
I can't draw at all, so whatever.
There you go. From 17 to 20, Ben Bates took over, and it's kind of interesting that, you know, these four issues are all the trades. They've collected them in the trades, so okay. The trades are smaller, but they're still...
How many issues?
Four.
Okay.
It goes
all right.
Four per trade. I think even Cityfall. Cityfall might have been okay. Cityfall might have been five... I didn't write down the exact trades, but I think it was four the whole way through, because I mean that keeps the cost down, that keeps the sell price down.
Yeah,
and I guess
that's good.
It's a little less stressful on the artist to only do four issues than five or six. But anyway,
yeah.
the Ben Bates trade was, I think that was the Krang War stuff, and I actually had to text you or send you a message or something because I couldn't remember these freaking aliens being part of the original series.
Yeah, the neutrinos. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they were in the original comic, and they were, what was it? They were in issue, or episode four? Yeah.
Yeah, you said they were on really early, and I don't remember
for
the life of me.
Yeah, the fourth episode, they were, in the first season, they were actually on, so they're actually, pretty famous characters in turtle lore. I mean, not as famous as, say, like Shredder or like Rocksteady and Bebop, but they're up there.
The best two, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah.
Well, and see, it's weird because I believe that I was a little bit of a spoiled SOB when it came to these toys, and I think I pretty much had them all. Like, I had the Technodrome, and I had the friggin' the bus, whatever the name is that escaped me. Party wagon, and all the toys and everything. I don't remember anything about aliens or these neutrinos, so I don't know if I came into the Turtle series late and missed that whole, you know, beginning or what, but it kind of threw me off. I also think that Ben Bates' art, while a step up from Andy Kuhn's, I didn't like it that much. It was another trade that was kind of hard to get through. One, I didn't seem to really care about this Krang War. It kind of came out of nowhere for me in the series. And the art just, again, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, this was actually my least favorite story arc. I just wasn't a big fan. It started out decent, and I was real excited about it, but it's just kind of like petered out. You know, the best way to describe it is sort of like Scott Snyder's Batman. You know how it starts out like with an awesome premise and then it just peters out, you know, and I don't know, you just don't know what to do with it.
But the best part is this was only 4 issues instead of like 14, so, you know, it was
over. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't have to go through like 50 issues to, you know, find out that there's this Owlman and it's possibly Bruce Wayne's brother.
Yeah, and none of these issues are $4.99 or $6.99 either.
Oh, screw that.
the saving grace for this series, I mean, again, I can't recommend a series enough to anybody that's a Turtle fan. There is some, you know, down where you kind of just got to read through it and just get over it. But Kevin Eastman, Kevin Eastman does issue 21.
Yes.
Draws it, which is great. It's a great throwback. I love it that it's colored. It's awesome. But it leads into probably one of my favorite storylines of last year, Cityfall. With Mateus Santoluco, I want to say. I suck with names. Anybody that's heard me on a podcast before, I can't say names to save my life. So
yeah, don't ask me. I have no clue how to pronounce that.
But Cityfall, technically the prelude started in issue 21, and then Cityfall ran from 22 to 28. Now,
yes,
when I say it's one of the best series, this is the events, I guess, maybe. It includes stuff like Leonardo gets, I guess, brainwashed, for lack of a better term, through magic and shit.
Yeah, the same witch that brought, you know, that brought Shredder back through the years or whatever.
Right. The one that, yeah, Shredder is technically the same Shredder that's around now is the same one that was in feudal Japan, but he was sleeping in some sort of oozy stuff that kept him alive and young and jacked up. So anyway, they turned Leo into what they kind of call Dark Leo, who I thought was really, really cool. It was interesting to see him fighting against, you know, the Turtles and their allies. His look was really awesome.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of a shame that it didn't last a little bit longer, but I don't know. How would you explain Cityfall to somebody? It had everything in it. You know, big fights.
Yes.
You know, you could tell it was going to have an impact on the rest of the series. It was big.
Yeah. You know what? I think it did. I think it did wonders for the villains, especially Shredder, because I don't know how you feel, but I think that it really established him as like a legit threat, and they technically didn't really beat him per se.
Yeah, they kind of just tails between their legs and kind of ran once Leo was, you know, kind of had his senses with him.
Yeah, I mean, they grabbed Leonardo and ran away, essentially.
And probably one of the highlights for me, aside from Dark Leo, was the return, or I don't know, I guess the new reintroduction of Bebop and Rocksteady. Anybody who's a Turtle fan will remember them from like the cartoon or the original series, I guess. Or were they in the original series?
No, they were not. They were a
cartoon thing, right?
Yes, yeah. They first appeared in the cartoon.
Right.
And if you've been reading any of the micro series issues, they've actually been popping in like here and there. You know, it's been alluded to that they were coming, and they actually got their own micro series issue.
Right. I am still out on the micro series stuff. I'm not sure if I want to get into it. I mean, all the Turtle stuff and the villain stuff, I'm all past it now in the main series, so I'm not sure if I'll go back yet, but the Bebop and Rocksteady one, I mean, again, anybody that knows the series, these two were the best characters as far as the villains went, next to Shredder. They were just two doofuses, but they were just awesome doofuses. I don't really know how to explain it. There's a lot of mixed feelings and nostalgia, and, you know, I just really liked them as a kid. And,
yeah, boss.
Yeah, exactly. The New York accents and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the way they updated their looks. You know, like the Kanye glasses, and
yes,
you know, it just works really well, right? They still kind of look the way you remember them.
No, they do. They do. I don't know who exactly, created their, you know, or came up with their new look, but they look the same, but they look updated, and they, you know, they just kind of, you know, blended the new and old together, and it's just fantastic.
I can't remember the sketchbook in the back. I think it was Santoluco that did it, because he did that really awesome secret history of the Foot Clan, and I think he's been really involved in the series, even though he's only done the art for this one arc, I guess, so far. I think he was the one, although I remember seeing Nick Patera post something on Twitter and it was it was the new updated version before the micro was released. So I'm not sure now, but I want to say it was probably Santa Luco that did it, and he did a great job. Whoever did it did a really great job.
Oh yeah.
The most recent issue was number 29. The fallout of Cityfall, no pun intended. It had Ross Campbell on art, and again, it was another big change. I hate art changes as a general rule. But his art was actually pretty good, coming after Santa Luco, which would be a hard guy to follow. Like, if they had put Andy Kuhn or Ben Bates or something after Cityfall, I don't know if I would have been able to read it. It would have been really hard. But I don't know, Ross Campbell, he there was a lot of emotion in it. And I remember I sent you a message and said, you know, this one was pulled on the heartstrings after all the crazy crap that went down. Like, Leo's all, you know, screwed up in the head. And Apolok, what the hell's her stupid name? What's the fox's
Alapex?
Name?
Alapex.
There you go.
Who is actually another original IDW character.
Right, she's a ass-kicking white fox girl thing.
Yeah.
Just seeing her there, like, in tatters and stuff and having nowhere to go, it was just really cool. Like, they did it was a really cool direction, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see, you know, issue 30 is a pretty big issue. I don't know why they always celebrate 25 for most series, but I think 30 is pretty big. And, I want to know what's next. I want to know where they're going with this. I want to know, you know, they've moved away from New York. They're in the middle of the country somewhere, probably still in the New York state. I don't know America, so...
upstate New York.
There you go. So they're closer to Canada. And I'll give you that. I know that much.
There you go.
North is Canada. It's just interesting. They're really broken right now, and they kind of got to take some time to heal. The thing that I really liked was that the farmhouse that they went to looked like the farmhouse in the first movie.
Yes. And there was actually a storyline in the original Mirage series that was, you know, like that, where they head up to upstate New York and stay in a farm. And
I really got to go back and read some of that, because I think I missed a lot of it.
IDW has released, you know, some really, really nice hardcover collections of the original Mirage. And I, you know, highly recommend that to anybody who's never had a chance to read some of the stuff. They actually offer two different versions. You can buy, you know, black and white versions that look just like the original, or you can actually buy colored versions they're actually very well done, the colors. And I cannot remember. It's Scorpion or Scorpio Studios or something like that.
They just hired it out and let them.
Yes.
But I know I've seen some of those hardcovers, and it's definitely they're really good looking hardcovers. Even the IDW Limited or Red Seal or whatever the hell they call it. I think it's IDW Limited, and there's like a red package and a blue package or something. They released like 350 special signed super duper collections of like the first 10 issues or something.
Yes.
For like $150. I mean, if I had the money, I'd probably check it out, but that's pretty limited. I mean, usually I would say like 500 to 1,000.
Yeah,
325. I mean, I don't know if they don't have as much faith in it, or there's just not as many Turtle fans for the original stuff. I mean, obviously you don't want to print too many if they're selling it for 125. The cost to make it's probably a freaking $100. So who knows? But sorry, I had to get some liquid in my mouth there. I'm talking too damn much. Let's move away from the IDW series. Let's go to movies. We were talking about them. Let's go to the TV show. We were just talking about it with Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh yeah, all right.
The classic show is the one that I remember the most as a kid.
Yes.
I still fucking hate you because you bought the special Party Wagon collection and you didn't tell me about it, and now it's not available unless you want to spend $500 from some asshole on eBay.
I didn't know that you would be interested in it. Otherwise, I would have told you, like, hey, you can pre-order this on Amazon and get it for like $70.
Yeah, the more you tell me about it, the more I kind of want to strangle you.
I'm sorry, I apologize.
I was looking at flights to Pennsylvania the other day when you told me the first time. So. you know what? The cartoon series is what did it for me. The cartoon series started in '91, I want to say.
Yeah. Oh, also, I wanted to bring up. You know, since we're talking about the original cartoon, James Avery just died. He was the voice of Shredder, and he also played Uncle Phil on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Right. I remember that. I didn't know he did Shredder's voice though. That's cool.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
There you go. Shed a little tear and pour some beer out for him, Uncle Phil. Yeah.
I have a bottled water. I'll drop some for my homies.
Spill some H2O for my homies. Yeah. Real gangster of you, Derek.
I know.
You call yourself a rapper.
I know. I'm such a dork.
Anyway, the original was the original series 91 or did it start earlier
than 87.
Oh, way earlier than that. Shit.
Yeah.
Maybe 91 was when I was old enough to realize what was happening.
Probably. Yeah.
I was born in 87, so
I was born in 83, so I was at a prime age. Yeah.
See, now I want to strangle you even more.
Yeah, I remember. I remember Turtle Mania, and I don't know what kind of stores you guys all had at the time up in Canada, but I remember going to I remember forcing my parents to drive around to like Toys R Us and Hills and Children's Palace because you could not find those. Yeah. You could not find those freaking toys.
My grandmother used to drive around. She wanted to have them all for me. Right. So she would literally go to, Toys R Us and stuff and like Kmart and stuff. And she would go and she would drive all around the city. And you know, one Christmas, I remember I literally had like a whole line up along the wall of like all the figures, bad guys, good guys, like it was crazy. It's got to have been after, like I was 4 or 5, old enough where I can remember it.
Yeah, I still have. I actually still have all of my turtle toys, and I've picked up a few that I, you know, over the years that I didn't have when I was a kid, and I still just absolutely adore them.
Yeah, when my parents made me give away because I was quote unquote too old.
Yeah,
when I gave away the Technodrome and the Party Wagon and stuff, and that was hard, man. Like that, I mean, had I known, I would have, I don't know, cried or something and made them, you know, give it up, and then they would have been like, "Why are you 16 and crying?" But seriously, I kind of wish that I kept some of them, you know.
It's just
weird. We're talking about toys. You wanted to mention the new toys. You're kind of a nut job for the new toys.
Oh yeah, Playmates, who still does the toys, they have done a fantastic job with the new ones. And I actually have as of right now, I have all of them. There's like two new figures that came out that haven't come my way yet. But other than that, I have everything, all the vehicles, all the figures.
how much money is sitting in that pile of turtle stuff?
Oh boy.
If you're too ashamed to say it, it's okay.
The missus is right here. I don't know if that's a good idea to talk about how much those have cost.
Now, are you talking like reissues or are these from the new series?
No, these are from the new series. They actually, just a few months ago, did some reissues of the original toys.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy, I typically don't like the, I just don't buy the reissues. I mean, they're nice. I just.
How do they compare? Do they look the same? Do they look the same, Derek?
Wait, the new toys?
Yeah. No, the reissues versus.
Oh, yeah, the reissues look they're almost identical.
I wonder if they had to like dust off the old molds or something.
Yes, yeah, and they also have you're gonna love this, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Classics collection, which is really high quality, like updated turtle toys, and they. They first put out the four turtles, and they look like just like they did in the cartoon, and only way more badass.
Nice. I might have to look for those. I know, I shouldn't get into the
series. Yeah. Well, series two just came out, and series two only has two figures, and that's Bebop and Rocksteady.
Oh, I definitely had those as a kid. I remember I played with the Bebop and Rocksteady so much that at one point. I think Bebop had no legs, and he would just float around.
Yeah, I still have my Bebop and Rocksteady, but no, these are like new, you know, these are new figures. I'm talking about new figures. They look fantastic. I think they've done a good job with those ones, and you know, even the new cartoon toys. They've done, you know, a really good job, and kids are going nuts over these new toys.
Nice. It's so they should, man. I'm glad it came back. And I'm glad they didn't butcher it like they did Power Rangers. I don't know what the hell's going on with that shit anymore. Let's not get into that.
Well, that's a discussion for another time.
You mentioned the new show. I did catch it with Kayla's kid Aiden. We were kind of watching Teletoon or something, and it came on, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, I like Turtles. I remember this as a kid, and you know what? I've always kind of had a thing against the cheesy, cheap looking animation, like where it's like all CGI.
Yeah,
and it doesn't take the same skill in my mind as it did when they used to draw it in like the late 80s, early 90s.
It doesn't, and you know, and in a lot of ways, I understand why they do that stuff now, but
it's got to be faster to produce it. But I mean,
yeah, definitely.
I mean, so I caught an episode where apparently Krang is like a bunch of cyborgs or something, and
They're a whole like race of people, which is, you know, which is actually
kind of accurate.
Yeah. Then that's kind of accurate. Yeah. Yeah. They're in the original, comics. There actually wasn't a Krang there, but there was a race of people race of aliens called Utroms, which were, you know, which were like little brain looking things. And that's what Krang was based on. Now Krang, the actual character Krang first appeared in the original cartoon.
Yeah. And it's same idea with like, Batman, the animated series where they brought in like Harley Quinn, like the cartoon did so much for the series.
Definitely
distorted it and, you know, but it added lots to it. Right.
Yeah. And speaking of that original cartoon, I hear a lot of people saying that it's garbage now. F you, that cartoon is awesome.
You know what? I caught the original on Retro, and I think you and I were talking about it the other day, and I don't remember Raphael's voice being that terrible. Like when I read the comics, I read them in the movie voice where he's got kind of the New York accent. He's kind of like, you know, the real tough guy. And, you know, I read Splinter's voice and the movie voice. And so the voices kind of threw me. And I mean, it was cheesy late 80s, early 90s like animation. You can't compare it to anything now. You can't say, "Oh, it sucks," just because it does. You know, it doesn't really compare to what's out now. You got to remember being a kid and watching it, and it was the shit when you were a kid.
Yeah,
but I got to gripe about the new series. Let's stop talking about the classic series for a minute here.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The new series, I don't like that Mikey's like a weird buck-tooth guy.
Okay,
I don't like all the weird little freckles on them. I hate their feet. I don't like the voices. Like, I don't like the look of the turtles. They look younger than Teenage Mutant. Like, they almost look like they should be like 12 or something. Something about the look doesn't compute, we'll say. What do you think of their look versus, you know, obviously they're the old series or even the comic series or anything. It doesn't look right to me.
my personal opinion is it doesn't bother me. The feet kind of threw me for a loop when I first saw them, when they first started throwing some screenshots here and there out, like before the series started, I had a little bit of a problem with it. I've gotten over it since then.
Clearly.
Yeah. I really like the way they look. I really like the way they look in toy form. I really enjoy the new series. I think they've done a good job. It's funny. It's you know, I think it can appeal to both kids and adults. I think they're doing a great job with it. The voices I do enjoy, and Rob Paulsen, who was originally Raph, you know, in the original series, which you didn't like. he's actually back, and he's voicing Donatello, who you don't like.
right. Well, you know what? His voice, I don't remember it as a kid. Like, it's funny what you remember. I can remember watching the series. I can remember playing with the toys while the series is on, but you don't remember the voices, right? I remember like the Metal Turtle guy, you know, obviously Bebop and Rocksteady. I remember all the cool stuff, and I remember the video game Turtles in Time, which was awesome.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I couldn't remember his voice. In my mind, as a kid, the voice was always the first live-action movie. So yeah. It's kind of cool, you know, thinking about it now that the guy's voice is kind of better for Donatello, I think. Mm-hmm. They just need a tougher guy for Raphael because, you know, he's the tough,
Sean
angry guy.
Well, Sean Astin does the voice for Raph right now.
Iceman?
No. Samwise Gamgee.
Oh.
And Rudy.
Right.
Yeah, that guy.
I'm trying to think now what the hell the Iceman guy's name is from X-Men.
Oh, no.
It was something real close, but that doesn't matter. How many times you said potatoes in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series?
How many times?
Yeah. Come on, that should have been like the first thing you said.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I'll have to give it another look. Start from the beginning, because I kind of just jumped in and there was these freaking androids chasing them. I didn't know what the hell was going on. April looked like she was 12 too, and it was weird.
Yeah, it's one of those shows that, like, it is a lot better if you watch it from the beginning, because there is, like, a, you know, like an overarching plot.
Yeah. Okay, so what about the short-lived 2003 cartoon series?
The 2003, that one was basically, in a lot of ways, it was... they were trying to go for something a little rougher, like still for kids, but a little rougher, a little closer to the comics.
And
it was, yeah. And it, you know, they did a fantastic job initially. It was very, you know, very dark. It was still funny, but I mean, the turtles were just absolute badasses. And then it's sort of, you know, how they say jump the shark after about 6-7 seasons, it started to jump the shark a bit. And then they went in the future and they renamed it, you know, Ninja Turtles Fast Forward or whatever. And it was,
did not pay attention to that at all.
I
remember the logo looking more badass and updated. And you and I were talking about that. They were, you know, I was trying to look, it had the original elements, but it was all, you know, I don't know, cool looking, I guess. It wasn't the block letters anymore.
No. And, you know, I think they tried to make them more serious, whereas, you know, I guess the original cartoon was a little more goofy.
A little more goofy?
Well, it was completely slapstick, and it's just pun. It's just pun after pun after pun.
So, what do you think? What's your favorite through the years?
The favorite cartoon, you know what? It could be any of them, but when it comes down to it, it's the 2003 series.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I might have to go and watch that one then, because I think I missed it completely.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
They do sell the seasons on DVD, and you can I haven't checked in a long time now, but I know you used to be able to get them for a decent price.
Yeah, I might check it out at least before it gets all crazy and in the future, right?
Yes.
I had to look at the 2003 series. I guess it's Donatello that has the missing tooth or whatever the hell. So, correct.
Yeah, he has a bit of gap, like a gap tooth there.
Yeah, he just looks funny. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm distracted by all these turtle things now. It's showing all the toys and stuff, so I got to turn that off.
Yeah, that was also a great toy line too.
You have all of those too?
I have, you know what? I don't have them all, but I have a very, very, massive chunk of them.
Very, very massive chunk of them?
Yeah. At the time, I was right out of high school and didn't have a lot of money, so I wasn't able to get a lot of them, but I got a few.
Okay. Well, we were talking about movies and the original ones and the original live action movies.
Okay.
There's the first one. The best one.
Oh yeah, that's a fantastic film to this day.
Oh yeah, I got to watch it again. Secret of the Ooze, which is the second one, was on the other day, and a little more funny. I mean, it had Vanilla Ice in it, and nobody wants to see that again. But I like the Razor and
Toka and Razor.
Right. You know, I like them. I think that. The second one is pretty close to the first one. I think they built on the first one a lot. It definitely wasn't as dark. It was way more goofy.
Yeah, well, they did that on purpose. There was a lot of people that there was a lot of studio executives who felt that the first one, you know, while it was successful at the box office, they felt that they couldn't sell this as like a family movie. They felt the first one was too dark and too violent, so instead they went for a more campy slapstick feel. They were basically trying to sell, you know, toys at that point.
Yeah, well, the first one was 1990, the second one was 91, which maybe that's why I'm fixated on the number 91. And third one, which, well, okay, is still garbage.
Oh, it's absolutely, yeah. It's,
was 93, and they go back in time, if you don't remember, and they become samurais. And
Help, I'm a turtle and I can't get up. And that's that was the extent of the comedy in that one.
Oh, God. So many terrible memories. I remember watching that one.
It didn't even have Shredder or anybody in it. It was just them and, you know, like stuck in Japan. Like, and what was it? Was it Feudal Japan?
I think it was.
Something like that. I can't remember the exact time period.
They had the full samurai suits on and there was actual samurais.
I actually have the three movies on DVD, but I just try to stay away from the third one because it's like, it's not even like the second one or like Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
You know, where it's so bad that it's hilarious and awesome.
I remember I hated the way they looked too. They had the big stupid spots on them all over the
place. Yeah. And, yes. Yeah. The big spots and that movie is just an absolute train wreck. And that pretty much marked like the end of like their initial run of popularity. That was pretty much like the death.
After 93, then it became like Power Rangers and stuff, didn't it? Power Rangers became like the thing.
Yes. Yeah. Power Rangers was real big at the time. So that kind of it's funny. I remember fighting with my dad trying to force him to drive me around for Power Ranger toys because we couldn't find those either. So yeah, that was about the time.
Okay, so the third movie was 1993. You want to guess when Power Ranger started?
93.
Yeah, August 93.
Yeah. See, I'm actually a Mighty Morphin fan too. So
the original one for sure. I mean, but the rest of them could bite me.
I enjoyed Zio, but after that, like, I've tried watching them, and they can be rough.
Yeah, I don't even want to get into that. Okay, so obviously the third one was a train wreck, and you kind of wonder, how could this be any worse? Well, I got two words for you, buddy. Megan Fox.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this, on this god-awful Transformer wannabe reboot thing that they're trying to do with Megan Fox? It's all going to be CG. There is no suits anymore.
Yeah. Well, I can't find them, but supposedly there is images out there of the toys, the movie toys that are going to be coming.
Oh, really?
And yeah, I have not seen them yet, but supposedly they're out there and I'll have to look for them. But I'll start out with a positive. Do you remember Vernon from the original cartoon?
Vaguely.
Okay, yeah, Vernon, he was like that snobbish, annoying, you know, reporter guy that was always, you know, he was essentially like April's rival.
Right.
Will Arnett is actually playing him in the movie, which I think is fantastic casting.
Oh, yeah, I see it now. And William Fichtner or whatever as the Shredder could be pretty cool.
Yeah, that, so they've made a few, you know, casting decisions that I think are decent. I don't know how I feel about Megan Fox, and I just don't know how I feel about the movie in general, though. I am willing to give it a chance. I'm not just going to fly off the handle and be like, oh, Michael Bay's involved, so it's automatically going to be, you know, complete garbage. I'll give it a shot, but if it's crap, I am going to, you know, voice my opinion quite frequently.
Well, at least they've either given more information or changed their minds on making the Turtles aliens or whatever the hell the first rumor was.
They've actually released very, very little information about it.
Well, the first thing that I heard was it was just going to be called Ninja Turtles. They were going to be from another planet. And Megan Fox was in it. That was like the first three things that I heard, and I was just like, "Oh my God, shoot me in the face!"
The only real like I've seen a few photos and you know whatnot. And I did see that there was confirmation that the Turtles are not aliens. So,
and they brought back the full title and everything. So I don't know. It's one of those things. It's the same thing with like Batflick. You can't be pissed until you watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we'll see. I don't know where that's going to lead them. I don't know if this reboot is going to be a good idea, if it's going to lead to, you know, three awful movies afterwards, Transformers, or what it's going to lead to. Where do you think the future of the Turtles is headed?
Well, for now, I think it's going to be, I think it's just going to go up from here. I mean, like kids, you know, today's kids are getting a taste of Ninja Turtles, and, you know, like those they're eating up the toys, eating up the new cartoon. They'll force their kid, you know, they'll force their parents to take them to go see the new movie. So I think it's, you know, I think it's going to get even bigger.
You think it's going to be the same kind of mania that it was in the early 90s?
Maybe not just like it, but I think it's going to be pretty close.
Now you're starting to see them, you know, all over the place. Like there's turtles everywhere. You walk through Toys R Us, man, and there's like walls of it.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's just Ninja Turtles everything now. You know, just like it was, you know, when we were younger. I mean, oh man, what website is it? 80stees.com or whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they actually had. Yeah, they. I wanted it so bad. They actually sell an ugly Turtles Christmas sweater.
Was it black?
No, it wasn't black. It was red.
I had an ugly black one, and it had the four of them, and they were stitched in there, and it had their names underneath.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I think I remember that one.
I totally had that as a kid. I remember I had a terrible spiked mullet or some shit when I was like six.
Yeah.
There's a picture of me, and I just loved it. I think I wore the sweater till the threads like evaporated. Yeah. That doesn't even make sense. That's not how wool works, but that's what it did.
I had Ninja Turtle suspenders.
Nice. You're probably still wearing them, aren't you?
Oh, no, I wish I still had those. I would wear them.
What?
I said I would wear them.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little fatter now, so I don't think they'd fit me.
Yeah, well, suspender stretch, man.
Yeah, that's...
$1 million question, though.
Okay.
Who's the best turtle?
Oh, Donatello.
Why?
You know what? Even when I was a kid, he was always my favorite. So there is that nostalgia. However, now I relate to him more just because he's more analytical and more of a skeptic than the other ones.
I'm going to have to say you're wrong because clearly it's Raphael. He's clearly the best one.
Yeah. See, now he would be like number three because number two for me is Leonardo.
Oh, why? I see. It was like, I think it went Raph, Mikey, Donatello, then Leo.
It's an argument for another day because my argument for why Leonardo is awesome is essentially my same argument for why Cyclops is awesome.
Oh, it's because he's a jerk.
No, he has to be he chooses to be a douche because he has to be a douche. somebody has to fill that role and he accepts it and just does it.
I will say one thing. He's better than Cyclops.
I know everybody hates Cyclops.
Everybody. Anybody that likes him is just awful. I'm sorry, Derek, but you're just the worst fucking person.
Well, Jeremy, who writes for All Comic, that's actually his, hands down, his favorite comic book character of all time, hands down.
Well, through anything or just Marvel?
No, anything. That's his favorite superhero is Cyclops.
I got to start drafting that email to fire him, I think. Holy crap. That's just fucking brutal. Well, everybody's got their favorite, of course. Raphael's obviously the right answer, but I'll let that one slide for you.
Yeah, I think everybody, I think most people say Michelangelo, and he's actually my least favorite. I don't hate him at all, but he's just, you know, I think there's less interesting aspects of him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like even in the comics, like the new IDW, I would actually say it goes Raph, Leo, Donatello, Mikey.
Yeah.
But the original show, I don't know. I remember it was like Raph and Mikey had this thing, and they were buddies. And now it seems like Donatello and Mikey are buddies more than anything. I don't know. I don't know if that's changed or I've just imagined that.
Yeah, you know what? It's been like that for a while, I think.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to rewatch that show. I'm gonna have to get you to send the party wagon up here or something. And I promise I'll send it back.
Well, I don't know. We could probably work something out like that. I can send that to you so you can watch it.
It seems like something that they should totally put on Netflix. I mean, that would be the best way to get people back into the show, and you know, it'd be a good way to resell them. Well, you said it was what was the anniversary of the show? We said it was going to be 20 years or something, and we're like, oh, they might reissue it?
Yeah, they may. Wait, the 25th anniversary just went by.
Oh, okay, maybe that's what we're thinking of.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so I'm going to have to wait probably until 30 then.
yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, you know what? I'm sure they'll put out something again at some point. Probably something, maybe, I don't know. I don't know how much cooler you can get than that party wagon, but...
Yeah, I don't know why I would put it, but I'd make room. I'd throw stuff out and make room for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, we got the IDW series of Turtles that we covered. We got the shows. We got the movies. We got the toys covered. I think that's it, man. I don't know. How much more Turtles can we talk about here?
We could talk about... we have a few minutes. We could talk about the video games.
Well, there's only one video game that matters, and that's Turtle in Time.
Yeah, that's true. Turtles in Time for...
Full-on arcade.
Arcade, and the one for Super Nintendo was actually a very nice port.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo was good. You know, the other day, I don't know why I was looking for it, but apparently they redid it for, like, Xbox Arcade or something.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they actually don't sell it anymore. They lost, like, the rights ran out, and now they don't. It's not available.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that, but it got some pretty shitty reviews.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even... I have it for Super Nintendo, and I didn't even bother to buy it on Xbox.
If you have a working Super Nintendo, why... I mean, Xbox, they just, made it, like, 3D, and... I think I heard that the music was totally changed, which is one of the best things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That music is fantastic. I didn't hear anything about that, but
I went to Metacritic to try to see what people thought of it. I mean, I don't own Xbox anymore because I hate Microsoft. Yeah, nope. But
yeah,
it'd be just interesting. This they said that the sound effects and the music were changed. It's like extra bland. A lot of people are like, oh, there's nothing new here. Well, I wanted to type in, like, all they did was update the graphics and, like, the music, I guess. It's okay. The same game. If you didn't like the original game, clearly you're not going to like the updated version. But
yeah, well, no.
I remember there was Turtles in Time, which was awesome. There was one more that I can't remember. I think it was one of the earlier arcades. I think it was before Turtles in Time, even.
There was the first arcade game, which was just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and then they ported it over to the Nintendo Entertainment System, and that became Turtles 2, the arcade game.
I think that's the one that I'm thinking of then. Was that the one with the arcade, and they had the different color sticks and all of them?
Yeah, that's the one. And then the first NES game, I actually agree with the angry video game nerd, and I think that game is horrendous. It's terrible.
The first one?
Yeah. Yeah, the first NES. Nintendo. Yeah, no. The first NES game.
Oh, first original Nintendo. Which one was that one?
It was just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and it actually has, like, an Eastman and Laird, like, comic cover on it where they all have the red,
really?
You know. Yeah, well, they all have their red headbands, but then once you get into the game, they have, you know, the different colored ones.
Weird. I don't think I remember that one.
Yeah, it's garbage. It's
sounds like it's a good thing I don't remember it.
Yeah, a lot of people have, like, you know, some fondness of it, a lot of nostalgia, but I hate that game. I've tried, I've played it a lot over the years, and it's super hard, but it's not hard in the way like Mega Man is hard. Mega Man is challenging, but it's a good game. That's just broken. That game is hard because it's broken.
Maybe that's the point, man.
I guess so.
If I ever see the arcade of the Turtles in Time, though, whoever's owning it, I'm gonna throw money at them until they say I can take it away.
Shut up and take my money. Yeah,
I would throw money at their face. And I live in Canada, man. We have, like, loonies and toonies that are $1 and $2, and they're like metal. They're gonna hurt people. I'll just throw it at them. So one, it'll be giving them money, and two, it'll hurt them until they give me this freaking arcade thing.
That would really be a cool thing to have, a Turtles arcade cabinet. Although, man. Last time I looked, I saw one for sale, and it was a few grand. So they go for a pretty penny.
Well, I mean, if they're in working condition, and
you
know, I can understand it, especially because rebirth of them and the popularity. I bet you 5 years ago, or maybe even before the 2003 series, you probably could get it for like $500 or less. And then, you know, 2003, the interest kind of peaked again, and then, you know, since then. Obviously, it's skyrocketed up. I mean, they're coming out with a new freaking live-action movie, and nobody ever thought that would happen.
No, I honestly didn't think that was going to happen.
I'm just so worried about that series.
Well, after the turtles flash forward, I was like, all right, it's official. The turtles are dead.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get some crazy, like, old turtles, you know, and they got some young ones are going to come in now. Be like, or Days of Future Past with turtles.
Yes. Oh, that would be, well, actually they did something somewhat, they did something similar like that.
Yeah. That was the original series, wasn't it?
No, they, a few years ago, they had like a made for TV movie. It was called Turtles Forever.
Oh.
And, it was, the main characters were the 2003 turtles, and they actually like hop through different, like, dimensions, and they end up running into the 87 turtles.
Oh, maybe that's why I'm thinking of the original series, yeah. Is because they were in it.
Yeah, and then they end up in a black and white like dimension where they find the original comic turtles and they call them sellouts.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a bit of a stretch, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I'm turtled out, man.
Yeah. I guess we could call it a night.
Okay, well, that was the comic shoot for allcomic.com. I'm Tyler. That's Derek.
Hello.
There you go. We're out. Until next time. We'll see you next week. And next week, I think we're going to be talking about... Okay, you ready for this? Dan Slott, Superior Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, pretty much everything Spider-Man.
All right.
Now, prepare your ear holes because Derek's not a big fan of Dan Slott, so you put your kids to bed before you listen to that one.
It's gonna get foul.
I can already hear it coming.
Yeah, I'm not going to be a nice guy like I was today.
Yeah, well, it's because you like turtles. But anyway, guys, until next time, read comics.